It's time for BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski, breaking down all the betting angles you need to put money in your wallet.
Probably playing with fire a little bit, fading the Padres and back-to-back A's, but I have to. I have to take Milwaukee plus 104 on the money line with Corbin Burnes on the bump going up against Paddock.
2-2 pitch. And that's hit in the air into right center field. He hit it well, and it's gone. Second home run in as many nights for Billy McKinney, and the Brewers jump out to a 1-0 lead. Will Myers. And there is a drive hit into left field on the run. McKinney lays out and makes a spectacular catch. My goodness, what a play by Billy McKinney.
On the BetQL Audio Network.
I keep having to tell Horvat, just take the Brewers as a dog. You got one of your studs on the bump, just take the Brewers, man. Brewers were good. They were a winner last night. No worry about the Padres. Get out of here, Pods, all this Friars chatter. Come on now. Brewers went outright as an underdog last night. At least we got that one. Joe Ostrowski and Ryan Horvat here with you for the next 3 hours on a Wednesday. This is BetQL Daily. Welcome on in. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at BetQL Daily. So it's myself at Joe0670 Horvat, at Ryan Horvat producing. We've got Eli Hershkovich and Jay Kassan in downtown Chicago and in Philadelphia. I don't know if that's in the downtown area. It's Dylan Burnes and Jake Galley. They're handling the graphics, and Dylan is the director. Three of our favorites on the show today, Michael Gallagher from Establish the Run to discuss the association. Big news with Harden as we were entering those games, kind of went under the radar once those games started, but that is massive for playoff implications in the Eastern Conference. Our buddy Will Brinson will be here. I know he's been betting the NFL draft props like crazy. We're going to find out what he loves and what he's just not sure of. And Jeff Feinberg to preview the next golf tournament. Another one of those tournaments we did not have last year. Different format a bit. So Jeff will get you set if you plan on getting any bets in before the tournament gets rolling tomorrow. I don't know where to start with you, Horvat. Do we start with your Milwaukee teams? Because I don't want you going on a 10-minute tangent. I'm still kind of mad at Giannis from the other day.
Me too.
Because you're still mad at Giannis?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I made up what I lost in points betting with him last night by taking the Julius Randle under. Yes, Dylan Burnes. I wasn't quite happy with the final score of that Knicks game, but I was happy that Julius Randle only had 16 points. I was starting. I mean, we get so out of control in this business, and there's so much recency bias involved. And I do believe that's a lot's what's happening with Tibbs, but it doesn't mean he won't win coach there. He still can. Just a firestorm that's backing him right now. I was starting to see people say, "Well, if we're going to talk about Steph Curry as being the MVP, well, Julius Randle's the runaway most improved player. Look at the numbers. If Tibbs is going to be the coach of the year, should we be talking about Julius Randle as MVP?" That's how crazy this has gotten.
Yeah, no, there's one front runner for the MVP, and that's Jokic. That conversation's over. I like to make a case for Steph Curry just because of my 16-1 ticket. And if you take him off that Warriors team, who's scoring points? Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green. They're without Wiseman now for the rest of the year.
Not so much an MVP conversation. I'm just talking about how things just get out of control with the recency bias right now.
Oh, right. No, you know where we should start? I'm with you. I'm angry at Giannis. I'm also angry, but not too angry at Kelly Olynyk because he did cash for me 6 straight games. So I wasn't really expecting that to continue. His status as an elite big in the NBA. Yeah. So we could start there. I'm pumping the brakes. I'm taking it easy on the NBA. And yesterday I would have been boring. I only had 2 plays yesterday. I was on the Brewers just because I can't believe we get that price with Corbin Burnes, even against the Padres.
Got to take it.
They're beat up.
Take it.
In the Padres.
Well, the interesting part, and we addressed this yesterday, was in the first 5, Brewers were heavy, heavy favorites. Like I think it was minus 140. But then for the full game, the Padres were the favorite. I just took them full game. I was like, okay, this is going to turn around for the bullpen. I'm not that scared off.
Right, exactly, and especially with the Brewers bullpen. Like, I expect them to bounce back, and the Padres are beat up right now, and you could say what you want. I mean, the Brewers are pretty beat up right now. Obviously, no Christian Yelich, no Lorenzo Cain in that lineup, but still with Corbin Burnes on the mound. And the funny thing was last night, Joe, he didn't even have his best stuff. That's what they continued to say on the broadcast, and he threw, what, a 4-hitter, struck out 10. I mean, he looks like a legit Cy Young candidate right now. Now, Jake,
it's not candidate. It's not even candidate. We're beyond candidate. Favorite. He was a candidate after start one or two. Like, he is co-leader in the clubhouse. That's what he is. And the DraftKings, if you look at that, those odds are reflecting that. And if you look at PointsBet, I mean, I think this is one of the top stories of the day in the sports betting world. If you're betting into the MLB futures market, man, like, I was shopping around this morning, and fine sponsor of this show, at least in the legal market that I see here in Illinois, PointsBet has the best number. I trying not to overreact. Like, maybe that's a theme of the day, recency bias, but this number might be gone for the rest of the season if you don't act this morning. So I saw on DraftKings and all the Canby books, Burns is plus 350 to win the NL Cy Young. DeGrom the favorite. On PointsBet, he's plus 600, Burns, that is.
Still?
He's right now, he is plus 600.
Wow.
So my mentality is, do you act on Burns now? The price is going soon, and it's not coming back. The numbers are gaudy. Like, we're going to hear all sorts of historical stuff. If he can keep he can't keep this up, but if he can keep something close, we'll hear all that stuff. And then there will be people that say, hey, if it's a toss-up, DeGrom already has some Cy Youngs. They're going to give it to Burns. Or does that mean there's value this early in the season on some other guys that we're not looking at, like, I don't know, Nola or Wheeler, something like that?
Yeah, Nola, I would look at. Hell, I mean, I was trying to make the case for Brandon Woodruff before the season even started.
Woodruff.
I was homing Corbin Burns, not even as homer picks because I watch them every fifth day make their starts. It's just like with Brandon Woodruff, I mean, the writing's been on the wall. The strikeout numbers continue to go up and his walk rate continues to go down. He's not walking anybody. And if he can stay healthy, because that's been his problem in the past, he had the oblique injury last year. He just needs to make every start. With Corbin Burns, I mean, we've seen flashes of brilliance. You saw it the other night. He struck out five different batters on five different pitches. This season, he has 38 strikeouts, no walks. I was doing comparisons to, like, the Cubs hitters because they've been so bad. Javi Baez this year has struck out 31 times and only walked once. And then you're looking at Corbin Burns' numbers on the mound are just ridiculous. 38 strikeouts, no walks. He's obviously not going to continue to do that. I would probably play it right now. I think DeGrom's going to be fantastic all year. But if I'm going to play anybody right now, it's probably – it would be Burns because I already have a Woodruff ticket. And, you know, as great as DeGrom's going to continue to be, like you said, maybe there will be some voter fatigue, or maybe they're going to look to get him that what is it? That would be his third Cy Young. I could see maybe that being the case too. Like, let's reward him. He's one of the best pitchers of our generation. I don't know though. I'd take a shot with Burns, man, because I think he could continue this. Like I said, last night, he didn't have the best stuff and he pitched a four hitter.
If both stay healthy, can DeGrom run away with it?
Yeah,
that's your question, because then it would be tough to hedge, right? To make a profit out of a Burns 6-1 ticket.
Yeah, man. And if you've been watching DeGrom, I mean, he's been ridiculous. The other day, I mean, the strikeout numbers are ridiculous. And obviously, you don't have to look at win-loss record or anything like that. So it doesn't matter with the run support, because both pitchers, that's been the problem. I mean, last night, that's the most run support Corbin Burns finally gets. And it's from guys like Billy McKinney, guys that I didn't even know were in the league still. With, you know, Yelich and Kane and all these guys being hurt, they finally get some run production. I think DeGrom could run away, but I think that Corbin Burns right now, great value pick. And I think he can continue this.
It's weird to say value pick is the second favorite, but that's where we sit. We'll address this specific topic, what we would do with nickel or dime later on in the hour. Also in Major League Baseball, the A's have now won 10 in a row. They sweep the Twinkies. Otani, I like the Angels yesterday, but the problem was they were such heavy favorites, and Otani had a ton of walks. I mean, six walks, seven strikeouts, and four innings of work. Angels end up winning. Jake Kassan gave out Urias as a K-prop guy, and that came through in impressive fashion with, what do you have, 11 strikeouts yesterday? Urias might be a guy as a long shot that you take a look at. I know people would say, oh, you can't do that in that Dodgers rotation. He's near the back end. But maybe he won't be viewed that way if the kind of role that he's on continues, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, with the A's, I'm actually kind of like surprised what they're doing, but I shouldn't be because this is what they do every year. But they're 12th in runs scored per game, and they're I mean, they don't – I don't really know. Every year, like preseason, before the season begins, I'm like, okay, this is the year that the A's are going to fade away. I don't think they're going to be any good. Like, look at these names, you know, and every single year, this is what they do. So they're starting to heat up right now. I thought, like, after the first week of the season, I thought that they were going to be a disaster. And now they're playing, like, one of the better teams in all of baseball. And I'm a little worried about the Twins. Like, if you have a Twins ticket, I'd be a little concerned.
What are you worried about?
With the Twins? I do think, you know, I think that the White Sox are going to heat up right here. And I think that they're going to fade away a little bit. Now, they're hitting the baseball right now. But I don't know if Buxton's going to continue this. Like, he's hitting, what, 469 right now with five homers? Do you see that lasting all season long? I don't know. I just watched.
Yes, yes. He's going to hit 469 all year.
No, absolutely. But do you think that he's going to continue to play like this all season?
Of course not.
He's going to stay healthy this season? I don't know. I see the White Sox. Yeah. I think they're going to get it together. Their pitching staff is just too good. Have they announced who's starting for the Sox today, for the White Sox?
Last night they didn't make it official, but I did see Cease listed on multiple sites.
Okay, yeah. I was hoping maybe it would be Kopech again, but I couldn't remember when he made that last start. I was going to look at some strikeout props. But no, I do think that the Sox are going to turn it up. Oakland, anytime Oakland takes on Minnesota, I always go with Oakland, man. I mean, they've won six out of their last 10. They just dominate.
Major League Baseball, 250 games so far. How many games above 500 are the favorites straight up? Now, the real sample size is 240 games because 10 went off as pick'ems. Out of 240, the straight-up record for favorites is how many games above 500?
Jeez, what is it? I have no idea.
Tell me. Make a guess. Anybody have a guess? Anybody? Jake Hassan? Anybody? 240 games. How many games above 500 are the favorites straight up?
Straight up, I would say, 12?
I was going to say 10.
Lower.
Lower. Eight.
Lower.
Three.
Lower.
Zero.
Two games above 500 are favorites straight up this year.
Wow.
If you're blind betting underdogs and a number of them in the plus 150, plus 200 range, wow, are you cleaning up? Now, nobody bets that way, but I'm saying early on, you should be taking a look at some of these dogs as the market is figuring these teams out.
Well, you know, and yesterday, so I was thinking about that yesterday because I did take the Dodgers on the money line. I liked the Dodgers yesterday, and I liked the under in that game a lot. But I was thinking of it like I kind of like Seattle to keep it close. Now, do you ever take the dogs on the run line, like the 1.5, like yesterday with Seattle, which would have cashed?
Yes.
And then you're not about the minus 190, because that's the thing. Like, I've found myself staying away from favorites, whereas when I started playing baseball, like started betting on baseball, you know, I would look at pitcher matchups. So if I'm getting Garrett Cole on the mound for the Yankees, I wouldn't mind going, okay, it's minus 220, but it's Garrett Cole going against, you know, the Twins today or the Pirates' fifth starter, a guy that they just named. But the problem is, man, you could bet four favorites, you go 3-1, and you're still really not making a whole lot of profit. So I should be looking at playing all underdogs and maybe looking at the run line a little bit more. And, you know, yesterday I'm sweating that one out in the ninth inning. It's a 1-0 game, so the under looks great. But I was just thinking, like, is this even worth it to be back in these big favorites, even if there is a pitching match that I like or a pitcher that I see value in?
For the record, favorites did dominate yesterday. They go 9-5, but plenty of underdogs end up cashing. You know, it's so cliche in the sports betting industry and, you know, with more and more sports betting media to just let's do bad beats. Everything's a bad beat. Oh, I'm going to yell and scream because I had a bad beat. And it's just most of it, I just roll my eyes. We don't bet a ton of NHL on this show. We bring on great guests like Alex Moretto to talk about stuff like that. A few other dudes just to help people out if they're looking at NHL futures games, whatever. There was an awful beat last night in the NHL. It was awful. If you had the Penguins minus the puck and a half, it was almost a pick 'em. It was, I think it closed at minus 118. They are up in the third period, 6-0. 6-0. Devils score 41 seconds into the period. Then they score 5:14 in. Then Bastion scores. It's 6-3. You're in the middle of the third period. The Penguins score again. It's 7-3. Three unanswered goals, including one with 41 seconds left, an empty netter. If you were on the Pens puck line, you lost, and you turned off the TV when you were up 6-0 in the third period.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's brutal. That's a bad beat. That is the definition of a bad beat. That's ugly stuff.